Our text for this morning is taken from the first chapter of the Gospel of St. John, beginning with the sixth verse. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. As a little child, I had a neighbor who was blind, an older gentleman, and I used to watch him walk home every day and try to get up his steps with his cane and so on. And maybe if you had or knew somebody, maybe in your neighborhood or church who was blind, you like me, I used to wonder, what would that be like to be blind, to not be able to see? And then I discovered and found out that there were some people who had been born blind, unlike this neighbor of mine who had had sight up into his retirement years and then lost it. What would it be like to have been born blind? And to think that you wouldn't even know what blindness means because of your blindness that you've had from birth, that you've never known what sight was to have lost sight. And that used to really perplex me, I know, as a child, what that would have been like. In our text today, we have one of the great themes of Scripture laid out before us. That of light and darkness, sometimes also the theme of blindness and having sight. And St. John draws upon that marvelous motif and theme that runs throughout Scripture as he speaks now of the work of John the Baptist, who was to come into the world ahead of the true light that was coming, of course, our Lord in his birth. Blindness and darkness are God's way of depicting the fallen condition that we have, that we're born into in this world. Somebody once said it this way about our spiritual ignorance on our own. Man is so blind that he doesn't even know how blind he is. One of the best signs of the spiritual darkness that is in my heart and in the hearts of all people is how we sometimes chafe at hearing about how blind we are, about hearing about our sinfulness. That's one of the signs of this very problem of sin in us itself, is the fact that we don't like to hear about it, that there's something inside of us that seems to rebel at that and want to act as though that's not really true about ourselves. As Shakespeare had one of the characters say in Hamlet, "The lady doth protest too much, methinks." That very protest in us against the idea that we are so sinful and so depraved on our own that we have no light in ourselves at all spiritually, that causes something in us to say, that's not true about me. There's something about me, isn't there? And that, likewise, is a demonstration of the very darkness that we have. Sometimes you could be in a room that's very, very dark, and you know that it's dark, and yet it's not until you finally have light brought into the scene that you realize just how deeply dark the room was that you had been in. I remember years ago, I was on a tour of a cave in Kentucky, an enormous mammoth cave, and the tour guide took about 30 of us down into this room inside of the cave that was roughly the size of the sanctuary, even including the height. But the path to get there had been so tiny and narrow through these real narrow little passages to get in there. And all around the wall of the cave were these jagged areas. And it was lit with electricity, and she suddenly radioed somebody and had them shut off all the lights in the cave. And we were in complete darkness. And she let us stand there for about 3 minutes just to let our eyes adjust to that. And then she got way far away from us, about up where the balcony would be. And she lit a match and lit a little candle. And within about 30 seconds, you could see everybody's face in that room. It was just amazing how much that tiny little bit of light lit up the darkness of that cave. Imagine that she had left us in there on our own, had left us kind of to our own wanderings inside of the darkness without that little light of the candle, and told us that we had to find our way out, how we might be going and pushing against the walls and all the crevices, imagining that that might be the right way. What a picture of how humanity would be if God would not have brought the light into this world. And you can even see it now in humanity, all of the different ways that mankind, groping in the darkness of not knowing God, has tried to imagine different passages that will get out of this darkness and to find God again. All of the different avenues and idols and the types of worship that mankind has come up with in his darkness and blindness, trying to get out of the great cave of sin and death and the problems of judgment and so on before us. God never desired that mankind would live in this type of darkness. When God originally created our first parents, there was the light of truth that shone in their hearts and minds and lives. There was direct communication with God. But man, because of his fall, chose to push all of that aside and to bring darkness into the world. But immediately upon finding man in the darkness of that cave now of sin and death, immediately God chose to shine light once again right back into the world by giving Adam and Eve the promise of the coming Christ. And right there was that first flame of the light of the gospel again, the wonderful good news shining in the darkness of man's sin and fallen condition. And so it is for us today as well. God does not want you and me groping around in the world and in our lives and looking ahead in our future. He doesn't want us groping around on our own, thinking that we're going to maybe find some way out of our coffins and find some way out of the judgment and so on. Because man has come up with thousands of crazy, false ideas because of his ignorance and darkness. God has chosen instead to send his messengers continually into this world, just as we see with John the Baptist in our text, to bear witness to the light through the powerful word of God to once again break open our eyes to see the truth about ourselves, about what God has done for us in Christ, and about the wonderful hope we have through him. And so we're told about John the Baptist that he was sent to bear witness of that light. And every true prophet of God, every true preacher of God, everyone who testifies to the light is the one that helps bring that same light into the world that God has sent through his Son. Just like that lady in the cave that day that just took a tiny flame to provide light for all of us to know exactly where we were and who was in there and how to get out and so on, so it is with the Christ child. Think what a tiny little package that the Son of God came in. What a tiny little flicker of light, and yet it was enough to light the whole world. And he has come for the whole world. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, John says, the glory of the one who has come from the Father, full of grace and truth. The night that the wise men were searching for the Christ child, as they were probably wandering through the deserts and so on, there was that one bright star in the sky that probably still looked pretty small. And even though it was maybe outglowing the other stars, it was still probably a pretty small-looking light up in the sky. Imagine, though, if you could have somehow transported yourself up to that star and to see its actual size, maybe bigger than the sun itself. How it is, likewise, in this world, that the gospel goes out, the message about Christ, our Savior, that sometimes seems so tall and or so small and insignificant. And Christ himself, in a way, as he was in this world, appeared to be so insignificant, especially that night of his birth. And yet, to think what we really have in him, very God of very God, begotten of the Father, not made, of one substance with the Father, by whom all things are made, King of kings, Lord of lords, hiding in the tiny package of the Christ child. And it's through this wonderful light of Christ that God shows us our way out of the darkness of unbelief and sin and death and judgment. When you are possibly reflecting on something that you've done wrong that maybe makes you afraid about God and what God thinks of you, just like being in that cave and the light comes on, go to the light. Go to the light of Christ. When you maybe think about how God someday is going to stand before you and address you in the judgment scene, and when that causes you to tremble in fear, go to the light of His Son and His marvelous grace and forgiveness in Christ, through whom and in whom you are perfectly righteous and holy. When you possibly are afraid about your own death coming someday and what's going to happen to you, once again, be drawn by God's grace to the light of Christ. And there you will find the sight and the ability to see the wonderful treasures that He has for you in the home above. May God grant all of us who have been blessed to see this light, may He grant all of us the desire to continue to live in that light throughout our lives, that we someday may get to live in the city above where there is no need of light. Amen.